Spoken on High with Matt. Today is a wonderful day. I have been waiting for this moment for some time. Today, we are meeting with a phenomenal man. And no, not just because he drove me to my uncle's wedding. No. This man is a ginormous sales leader in the software industry. He is a lifetime member of Crossroads Theater in New Brunswick, New Jersey. He is also the co-founder and the board president of Kearspark Community Connections. Ladies and gentlemen, Spoken on High presents John Hines. I really hope that you listen to what he has to say, because today we're going to be talking about investing. Spoken on High with Matt. Today we have a wonderful guest today. Just a great man from the shop days, a great man who has been a finance guy. He's been a sales person. He's been in a few different industries, but right now, currently, he is in the software industry. He's a great resource and a source for finances and about different things that talk about investing, because today we're going to talk about investing.
Matt, thanks so much for having me on your podcast, Spoken on High. It's an honor and a privilege to share some of my insights on investing with your audience.
And again, this is so great because I wanted just to ask you something. What is the financial landscape right now? Right now, we're just coming out of COVID. We're coming out of maybe another recession, different politics. Whatever you believe in, but it's so interesting that as time goes on, it's harder to afford rent. It's harder to afford groceries. I see more people with, my type of salary, like the 40K a year type salary, going on food stamps, right? So if you're not making that 60 some K a year, 100K a year job, where do you feel the financial landscape is today?
It's an excellent question. So there are a number of things at play in today's current financial landscape. Obviously, the first thing you mentioned, inflation, is on everybody's minds. Prices for food in particular have gone up significantly. So that's putting pressure on families. In addition to that, there's a lot of turbulence in the workforce, particularly in the tech space, where there's been a lot of layoffs, downsizing, reorganizations, what have you. On top of that, we have the proliferation of artificial intelligence, which, although there's a lot of positives to it, let's face it, it's going to eliminate a lot of jobs because of the advances of automation. So you have that, and then you have interest rates that are at historic highs. So there's a lot of change going on in the current financial landscape, but that also represents opportunity.
Now, I love how you talk about that. Now talk about opportunity, because the next question I was going to ask was, where are we now with entrepreneurship, right? When I think about opportunity, I think about like entrepreneurship and creating your own. So what are your ideologies or your thoughts on this being a time where maybe you create something? Is this where we go safe? Or do we just go hard or go home? Do we go big or go home?
Well, it's an opportunity to go big. And here's why. There are a lot of quote unquote problems that face our world. There's the whole idea of sustainable energy. There's the problem of pollution and plastics in our ocean. Those are just some examples, but those represent opportunities for forward thinking, visionary entrepreneurs to solve problems and be paid handsomely for it.
So what are ways that we could be paid handsomely for our work, do you think?
Well, there are a number of ways. I mean, I just use those two examples in terms of societal problems, but a lot of people are starved for information on health and wellness, as an example. So you can be an author, you can be a content creator, you can create a podcast or show around your health and wellness journey. As an example, there are several content creators who've overcome mercury poisoning, or who have lost weight, or who have overcome cancer, and they have become bodybuilders. And so those content creators have been able to monetize their passion around health and wellness to create a great living for themselves and their families. So those are just some examples of how you can create your income and control your financial destiny.
Controlling your financial destiny. Wow, what a crazy concept, right? Being in control of your financial destiny, right? We talk about all the things that we can't control, right? There's so many things in this world we can't control, but there are things, like John said, to be able to control your financial destiny. Let's just take a pause for a minute while we ponder on that. Spoken on High with Matt. So we are back with the amazing John Hines, right? He, again, sales leader in the software industry, the Spoken on High's official financial expert, if you will. And he, again, we're talking about being able to control your financial destiny, right? Controlling your financial destiny. When I think about controlling your financial destiny, I think of the word vision. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision and make it plain. So what is vision? I just want to know for us, just what does vision mean to you?
Well, vision means to me, it means it's a compelling picture of a future ideal or worthwhile dream that pulls people or compels people to take action to help create it. And so, for example, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King talked about his I Have a Dream speech, where black men and white men and people of all creeds and nationalities can coexist and live together. That's an example of a vision.
And see, when I think about coming together, I think about the word community. And when I think about community, I just want to know, I want my audience, our audience, thank you, God, Spoken on High with Matt, I just want everyone to understand the great things you do in the community. You know, African-American male, you know, you've been, you know, lifetime member of Crossroads Theater, you've been involved in theater, you've been involved in community, you've been involved with the youth. I know a lot of different youth, and you're still involved today. So tell us a little bit about what all the great things that you're doing.
Sure. So let me take a step back. So my journey in public service started in my 20s. So I've been doing community work in public service for the last 25 years. My inspiration is my mother. She's a retired colonel, Army Reserve. So it's all about service, and in her case, serving this great country. And I also have uncles from Guyana. My family's from Guyana. One of my uncles was the head of the Presidential Secretariat, which is like a chief of staff for 5 Guyanese presidents. He recently transitioned, and they named a building after him. And then my other uncle, the Honorable Samuel Hines, he was the prime minister and he was president of Guyana. And he's currently the ambassador from Guyana to the United States.
So you have a history of family service, right? Community service in your family. It's so funny. You and I are like kindred spirits. It reminds me of my mother when she was serving in government and NAACP. It's like, and your family was like actual chief of staff of like presidents of other countries.
And the president of another country.
And the president of another, like, what was your, I guess, growing up, like, what was your experience in terms of like the people you've met and like the places you've gone? I mean, you know, did you go in any World Cups? Like, I'm trying, you know, like what, like, I'm sure, you know, it seems like you had a really rich life growing up.
I did. And so I really want to thank my mother for exposing me to travel it's expanded my worldview. As an example, we went on a family vacation to Europe for 6 weeks. And so I got to visit Barcelona in Spain, Rome, Venice in Italy, Geneva in Switzerland. So I got to see all these countries and get a glimpse of how other people live. And that helps expand your worldview. I'm a big fan of travel, particularly international travel, because it expands how you look at the world and how you relate to people. And it gives you the, if you allow it, the social skills to interact with different cultures and different people and realize that we have more in common than we do different.
Man, that's interesting. Traveling to different countries and cultures, seeing how what we do, the similarities versus what we do different, and experiencing those things. Wow. And it seems like if we just pull together our resources, right? Like, it seems like not just health is wealth, but what you're saying is the resources of others and using those resources and being able to come together almost like share the resources. Am I kind of talking right a little bit? And just sharing those resources. Just again, in the communal aspect of just being able to come together and learn about each other. Ugh, that's so amazing. Now, when it comes to investment, I love when we're talking about coming together. Should we be investing in each other? Should we be investing in stocks? It seems like what's more powerful now is not investing in a McDonald's, but investing in a local cafe next door. That means that sells avocado toast. Anybody that knows me knows I love avocado toast. And we pull our resources and come together to build a community of food or health or wellness. What is our best investment, and what should we, or who should we be investing in?
So the best investment you can ever make is to invest in yourself. So what do I mean by that? What I mean is taking a percentage of your income and investing it, whether it's in reading books, attending live events, enrolling in online courses, resources that are going to help you become bigger and better and add more value to society. That's the best investment you can make. And the difference between people who are highly successful, and this is a quote from Warren Buffett, by the way. Warren Buffett, one of the world's richest people, he said the difference between super successful people and everybody else is those people prioritize their personal development. They allocate time and money to upgrading themselves, their knowledge, their skills, whether it's public speaking, whether it's management skills, whether it's negotiation skills, whether it's accounting skills. It's a consistent and continual investment in themselves. And those are the people who will succeed beyond our wildest imaginations.
Wow. So the best investment is yourself. Are your skill sets? Are your goals? Are your dreams? But not just that. It's like you said, public speaking, management skills, being able to communicate with others effectively. It's so funny you say that, John, because a lot of times we'll invest in a building. We'll invest in a chicken factory. We'll invest in not paper mill playhouse, right? But an actual paper mill, right? An actual factory, right? But the best investment is to invest in yourself. Training, education is so huge. And that's why it's such a big industry. Maybe new software, about learning new software. It's so crazy that we're so quick to get rich, but we're not as quick to enrich ourselves and enrich our own lives. Oh my goodness. So So most people, they have a checking, they have a savings account, right? They don't have, you know, maybe they don't have a savings, maybe they just have a checking. You know, should we have a checking and a savings and a IRA and a Roth IRA? Should we have two checking accounts, three savings accounts? You know, what? How should we be managing our monies? As we're trying to manage our own lives, as we're trying to manage ourselves, as we're trying to manage our own education, our own wealth, and our own mindsets, and our own souls even, how do we educate our own finances? What do we need? What should we have?
Great question. So the most important thing when it comes to managing your money is, one, having a plan in terms of how to manage your cash flow. So let me give you an example. And this is how I live my life. Whatever money I receive, net, not gross, I take anywhere from 5 to 10% and I donate it. Now, for those who belong to a church or a mosque or a synagogue, you could donate it to that organization. You could donate it to a nonprofit organization. That's a really important habit, because it sends a message to the universe that there's more than enough money available. So that's a foundational way to manage your cash flow. Besides that, it's important to have a cash reserve. You should have up to a year of your living expenses, monthly living expenses, saved in a savings account, just in case. And not just for emergencies, not just for rainy days, but opportunities that may come up. You may come across an opportunity to invest in a small stock or a company before it goes public, like Google. Imagine you took $1,000 and invested it in Google before it became public and became the giant company it is today. You'd be a multimillionaire. Or Apple, if you invested in Apple before it went public. So the key is, you got to be able to have the cash to take advantage of those opportunities. So a lot of people are in a rush to invest and don't think of having that cash reserve, or don't install a plan to manage their cash flow by first and foremost taking a percentage. And it doesn't have to be 10%. If you want it to be 10%, that's fine. But some people may be living hand to mouth, and they may not be able to do 10%. That's okay. Do 5%. Do 2%. The key is to start.
Again, I'm hearing this word opportunity again, right? We're missing out on opportunities because we're not putting money away, not for a rainy day, but so that we can have opportunities. It's so interesting. I was watching something on Shaquille O'Neal, one of my favorite athletes. And he said, I was able to get in early on Google because I was babysitting one of the investors' kids while they were in my agent's office. And he's right. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, Shaq, you want to invest in Google? He said, what's Google? He said, oh, it's a regular search engine. He said, all right. So he invested a couple million in it. Yeah, it became 2 point some million, ended up becoming 2 point something billion. I'll have to send you the video of it, but it's just amazing about, you know, having that cash flow and sending it to God, right? Sending a message to God that, hey, God, you know, I trust that I will get this back. You know, I trust that there are more opportunities. I trust that I will have more than enough. Ah, yeah.
And so I want to give an actual example of the power of tithing and donating money. So when I was on the board of Crossroads Theater Company, if anybody knows anything about theater finances, they can be sporadic. You have to wait for grant funding and what have you. And so during my time as treasurer, you know, we had some cash flow challenges. And that year I donated about $42,000 to the theater.
Wow.
6 months later, I got an offer for a sales leader position that was a $40,000 increase in base compensation.
Mm. Wow.
So your good works come home.
Come on.
And so I say all that to say is, I live and breathe giving a portion of my savings, my earnings, to help organizations like Crossroads Theater Company. And so having that mindset of taking a percentage of your money and donating it mm-hmm. is such a powerful force to allow you to receive more.
Mm. Wow.
Wow. Wow. The second he donated $42,000, he got it all back in a hundredfold. And not just in a hundredfold, he got an increase of that same amount. Not just 40K. He got an extra 40K a year. That's just there for you. That's just there for you. Oh my goodness. And we complain so much about not having enough, but sometimes if we just give it up, then we can have more. But a lot of times what happens is we don't want to give anything up. We want to store. We want to hoard everything, right? We want to have a million different shoes. We want to have 20 cars in our driveways, right? It's so funny, and it's not the same exact thing, but I was at Dave & Buster's last night. And there's this game we played called Injustice. It's a DC Universe game. Anybody who knows games, and I'll never forget this. This guy I was hanging out with, he wanted this Scorpion car, but I was like, you know what? I really like that car, but God said no, give it up. And you know, I don't know what the blessing will be from just giving that up, right? Giving up that favorite thing that you really like, right? All these kids out there, right? Giving up your favorite thing, your favorite toy, sharing, right? I was telling you, we have a sharing problem, you know? And oh my gosh, just being able to get all of that back in a hundredfold. Wow, just what a wonderful concept of giving and donating. And just letting God just bring that back to you. Spoken on High with Matt. So investing in ourselves, investing in our communities. I don't know if we've talked enough about all the great community things you're doing. I would like to know a little bit more about CareSpark Community Connections and what you're doing with the youth. I just want to know.
Sure. So CareSpark Community Connections is a nonprofit organization, 501c3, whose focus is to advance health equity and improve positive public health outcomes in Black and Brown communities in New Jersey. And so if you look at the statistics in New Jersey and nationally, Black and Brown communities experience significant health disparities. And they were highlighted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Black Americans, Brown Americans were disproportionately impacted by COVID-19. And so that compelled us to really focus on programs that help Black and Brown communities, one, access the healthcare system because it's complex, and provide them a safe space with community resources that can help them take charge of their health and improve their quality of life.
And see, it's so interesting how you talk about the impact of the pandemic, because, you know, a lot of people say we're out of it now, right? But are we still being affected by the pandemic, or are we just back to normal? Because to me, we're never really going to be normal again, right?
You're correct. So we have to get used to a new normal. And so our message is at CareSpark Community Connections is self-care. Mm. Take care of yourself. Make better choices in terms of the foods you eat. Make better choices in terms of doing exercise, whether it's going for walks, going to a gym, investing in a standing desk if you work from home and not sitting all day. Mm-hmm. Those things, eating more fruits and vegetables.
Yep.
I do 2 smoothies a day. I do a breakfast smoothie and I do a dinner smoothie to make sure I get my green leafy vegetables and fruit. So these are things that these are steps that we could take to reclaim our health. The key is with CareSpark Community Connections and our programs is to provide that inspiration, that spark. To help communities across the state take charge of their health.
Providing that spark for your health, providing that spork for your wealth, right? Your mindset, the wellness of yourself. Ah, man. Wow. Let's just sit on that for a second. Spoken on High with Matt. Oh, man. Pondering on controlling our financial destiny, pondering on just being able to have your health and have your wellness together. Those smoothies, I got to get on those smoothies, man. I buy them, but I got to make them. I got to get a blender. Actually, I think I have a blender. I got to take my blender out and put some fruits and veggies in them and really make some smoothies and really control what we put in our bodies and how we can, what we put in our minds. And man, it's so great to be able to speak to you about these things, because a lot of times we're good with the spiritual, right? We're very good with, we could pray all night, pray all day, but do we really know how to take care of ourselves? Do we really know where our finances are going, right? Whether we're in a church, whether we're in an organization, a theater, whether we're in a software company, for-profit, non-for-profit, you know, we don't always know those ends. We don't always look at those things, right? So being that we had spoken about the pandemic, we spoke about the new normal, right? So with stock prices, I don't even know where the stock market, where it is right now. I think it was originally in COVID. I think it had went up and it went down. But what should we do with our stocks, with our investments? Do we pull out? Do we stay in? You know, do we just trust the process?
Great question. So just to give a little context, I was a financial planner and I was in the financial services industry for 10 years. So I got to work with people in that industry and talk to portfolio managers. And so here's the key to investing. It is a long-term game. And number one rule is only invest money that you could afford to lose. So if you have stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, bonds, and you don't have your cash reserve, you might be feeling a little nervous right now with the volatility in the stock market. So that's a point where you need to prioritize building up your cash reserves so that the gyrations in the stock market don't affect your sleep at night.
So really, it's not about ETFs or mutual funds or stocks and bonds. It's about having that cash reserve to be, so that you could afford, you know, putting money away that you could afford to lose. But my question is, what are those differences? You know, I see all these words, right? These are big words, right? ETF, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, Roth IRA, you know, IRAs, Roth, traditional, other. You know, there seems like there's so many of these big financial words that I don't know if any of us really know what those mean. I think we know about checking and savings. We know about stocks and bonds a little bit, but what are all these different things?
Great question. So let me start by saying this. Obviously, it does matter what type of stocks, bonds, ETFs, and mutual funds you invest in. You would hope you would be investing in those that are going to provide some good returns, ideally to outpace inflation and to, you know, stay ahead of the annual cost of living that just seems to be going up every year. Now, in terms of some of those questions you had about what's a traditional IRA versus a Roth IRA. So IRAs are individual retirement accounts where someone can invest either pre-tax dollars in the case of a traditional IRA or after-tax dollars in the case of a Roth IRA. So if you're a young person in your 30s, even your 40s, there's an advantage of doing the Roth IRA, because even though you're putting in after-tax dollars, when you pull it out in retirement, it's tax-free money. Mm. There are not a lot of sources of tax-free money out there, and the Roth IRA is a vehicle that people can take advantage of. Now, there are income limitations. If you're single and you earn, I think it's above $130,000, the IRS phases out how much you can contribute into a Roth IRA.
Wow.
So the key is to start investing in Roth IRAs when you're younger and you're not making as much money.
Really?
So yes, so you can take advantage of them. And then in terms of what you can invest in Roth IRAs or traditional IRAs, you can invest in stocks, mutual funds, ETFs. And so here's the thing. There's a difference between an ETF and a mutual fund. They're similar in that they're a basket of securities, whether it's stocks, bonds, other security, real estate. ETFs can be traded like stocks.
Wow.
Mutual funds, you could only buy one time a day at a certain price, whereas an ETF, you can trade it like a stock. That's the main difference between an ETF, an exchange-traded fund, versus a mutual fund.
Now, great. And so I was looking up these different things, dividends and petty stock or penny stocks, and are there really? I mean, there's some differences, obviously, and the penny stocks obviously are a smaller investment. The dividends are paid out from something you invest in a company. Like if you invest in Google, they give you dividends. Is there any real difference of where we should be investing, or like you said, is it just about the cash reserve?
Oh, there is. I think you need to make sure that your portfolio has exposure to stocks. Obviously, you want to invest in some good companies and have, if you have a cash reserve, you can take a chance on investing in some smaller stocks. Mm. Because if they're smaller and their price is lower, if they appreciate significantly, your return is higher.
Wow.
Versus Amazon. So Amazon just split, but Amazon is at its height, it was over $2,000 per share.
Whoa.
And Warren Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, mm-hmm. it's a couple $100,000 per share to invest in Berkshire Hathaway. So you want to ideally pick stocks or investments that there's room for growth. And that's important because, as we mentioned earlier, inflation is significant. It's substantial. Prices of food have gone up tremendously. So you want to have investments that could outpace inflation.
Mm. Okay, outpacing the inflation. Now, what are these? Now, I've been looking up these different things called REITs, like from different states and what have you. Real estate, now, again, for anybody who, let's say you have a local pastor, right? He gets, $1 million, right? Somebody invests, gives him $500,000, $250,000, and he wants to invest in some real estate development. Should he invest in the REIT or should he invest in the building?
So that's an interesting question. So let me just give you the audience some background on our current idea of the current landscape when it comes to real estate. I'll start with commercial real estate. The vacancy rate for commercial real estate right now is like 20% nationwide,
which does that mean?
Means 1 in 5 commercial office spaces are vacant.
Mm.
That is substantial.
Wow.
So if you wonder why people like Martha Stewart and others are saying, yeah, you need to come back into the office and work at the office as opposed to working from home, that's the reason why. Because because of COVID, people are accustomed to and prefer to work remotely, i.e. from home, mm-hmm. which means less people are in the office, which means there's office space that's not being used, which means companies who have long-term leases for office space are losing money in essence. So there's this push by the media to get people to come back to work and explain it. And they try to explain and sell why all the benefits of working in an office. So in terms of your question, should your pastor invest in REITs, a real estate investment trust, or invest in a building? It depends what the goals are. What's the goal of this money? That's going to dictate which investment makes the most sense. Maybe investing in a building may be too speculative, but it may not be. Let's say that building is full of tenants that are Section 8. Mm. That certainly reduces the risk because although the real estate may not appreciate as much in value, your cash flow is coming in every month because that you have a property with Section 8 tenants.
Mm.
So those are all the considerations someone would need to think through before they decide, should I invest in a REIT? Should I invest in a building? If so, what type of building? Is it going to be residential? Apartment complex? Is it going to be a commercial property? But again, there's some risk investing in commercial property. So those are all the considerations.
That's interesting because, and you talk about Section 8. Mm-hmm. Now with Section 8, what does that really mean? Does that mean that, you know, that people are going to be, you know, they're able to, you know, it's affordable, so they'll be able to pay it? Or does that mean it's coming from the government? Or like what, you know, what does that mean?
So Section 8 housing is, it provides residents who are low income with supplemental rental assistance. Mm. So a lot of people assume, well, Section 8 people aren't working. That's not true. Mm. There are a lot of Section 8 people who work. They're just poor, mm-hmm. and have a low income. So Section 8 serves as that assistance to make up the difference so that they can afford paying rent.
Got it. So it makes it more affordable so people can pay the rent. That's amazing. And that's the thing. It's what are your goals? What are your dreams? What are your aspirations? You know, do you decide to invest in a building? You know, are you looking for a return on stock? What are your goals? Really, when it comes to finances, and Spoken on High with Matt, if you're just joining us today, we're talking about investing, right? You know, what you should be investing in. John was talking about how we should invest in ourselves, right? Invest in our communities, right? The talking about the annual return, how that return can be more, and that how God can give you more by just investing in yourself, right? We get so focused on investing in this thing and that thing and, you know, this person and that person, right? But are we investing in ourselves? Are we investing in our communities, right? What are we focused on? What are our goals? Or are our money just sitting somewhere and we're just not sure what to do with it, right? A lot of athletes, right? You know, they're getting this money and they don't know what to do with their money. You know, they may have a finance guy like John Hines, who's wonderful, or they might have a crook, right? They might have maybe they have a family member, God help them. You know, that's like, oh, just, well, I'll take your money, and they don't know what to do with it. They're investing in their own businesses, right? And there's a volatile risk, right? And how much of that risk can you take? Well, as I've looked into my finances and, you know, had to deal with a few situations of my own and having to pay off certain things and look at the bills and trying to get the credit score up myself, I wonder, you know, are other people able to do that as well? Are they looking at their finances today? And it's, again, it's so wonderful that you're speaking to us, John, just about our finances and our best investment. The last question that I have today is, what should we be doing right now? Some are planning ahead, some are buying in, right? There maybe some of them are, like you said, this is the prime time for entrepreneurship. You know, some are investing in themselves, some are investing in their families. Some are just like Mark Cuban used to say, when I got my first $500,000, I just put it in the bank and just let it sit there. What should we be doing?
So I'm going to answer this question in a couple parts. So one of the first things we need to do is to set a goal to become financially independent. So what does that mean? That means the income and assets that you own pay for your monthly living expenses without you having to work. So let me give you this statistic, and it's a scary one. If you were to take 100 people at retirement age, let's say retirement age is 65.
Okay.
One will be wealthy and four will be financially independent. Mm. So 5% of retirement age people at age 65 are financially independent. The other 95% rely on support from Social Security and financial support from family and friends. Wow. So my message to your audience is, you got to have a plan for financial independence. So for example, let's say your goal is to live off $100,000 a year, let's say, in retirement. Okay. If you get a, let's say, 10% return on annual return on a pool of assets, that means you need to accumulate $1 million, right? 10% of $1 million is $100,000.
Wow.
So you want to be more conservative, let's say 5%. So you would need to accumulate $2 million, in theory, by the age of 65. If you earned 5% on that, that's your $100,000 and you're not touching the principal.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean, touching the principal?
Means that you're not spending your capital of $2 million. You're letting it, the interest you earn from it, pay for your monthly living expenses. So that's one way to achieve financial independence. Others, some people have pensions from their jobs, although pensions aren't as popular as they used to be. Like cops have pensions, teachers have pensions. So that's another source of income in addition to Social Security. But the reality is Social Security, it'll probably be in existence, but it's not going to be as lucrative as people think it's going to be. So you're better off coming up with your own plan independent of Social Security. If you get it, that's gravy. I wouldn't count on it. So you got to have a plan. That's the first step. The next step is you got to create a plan to invest in yourself and upgrade your skills so you could add more value to society so you could increase your income. Now, you can do that as an employee. Some people choose to get their MBA and do it that way and go up, climb the corporate ladder. You could do it by starting a side business online or investing in rental property. So there's an unlimited way. There are unlimited ways to make money. The key is to have a goal and don't get too caught up on the how initially. Trust that God will provide, or the universe will provide you with the ways and means to achieve that goal. You may not know how you're going to do it, and that's okay. You may not know today. You may not even know tomorrow. But if you have faith and you have that vision that we talked about earlier, God will put the ideas and the methods and the strategies in your mind, in your heart, for you to create that financial reality.
Creating a financial reality. Have a plan. Habakkuk 2:2 said, write the vision. Make it plain. You either make a plan or you plan to fail. Fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so today, I'm so glad, John, that we spoke today. There was so much, and I know we're going to have a continual conversation on this about investing into yourself and investing in your communities and being able to have a plan for your money so that you can, for not a rainy day, no, but for opportunities for yourself and the people around you. Thank you so much, John. Spoken on High with Matt. So I find this interesting, you know, the way we are controlling our financial destiny, the things that God's going to do in terms of our finances. Excuse me, Spoken on High with Matt. So, again, Spoken on High with Matt, I just want to know, you know, we talk a lot about faith and responsibility in our communities, right? But how should we really be living our lives from a financial perspective?
Okay, so the key to financial success, first and foremost, is living below your means. So here's what I mean by that. That means that if you're living paycheck to make ends meet, you need to find ways to reduce your expenses. Now, there's some categories where you could reduce your expenses. You could reduce your expenses by reducing the cost of insurance. You could reduce expenses by cutting out cable. You could reduce expenses by cutting your own hair, fellas. You could reduce expenses by eating home. Eating home cooked meal, eating some rice and beans and tuna if you have to. And that all points to the whole discipline of what we call delayed gratification. That means putting off the instant gratification of a purchase for the future gratification of the investment in a home, as an example. So as an example, before I moved into this house, I was in a studio apartment for 9 years, saving my money, living below my means. Wow. My rent was probably $730 a month in the state of New Jersey, which is not much, but it allowed me to save money, build my credit, and purchase this home comfortably. Because you want to purchase a home comfortably. There's a lot of people who purchase homes and they can't take a vacation because all their money is going to pay the mortgage and taxes and everything associated with the home. That's not a healthy way to live. So if you can establish the discipline of living below your means and the art of delayed gratification, and you don't have to do it forever, 2 to 5 years, you will have saved up money and you will be in a position of strength to be able to purchase a home or invest in a future Google of tomorrow. You open up opportunities for you to accelerate your path towards financial independence.
Forging your path to financial independence. That word again, opportunity. Opportunities not to just to save, but to invest in the Googles or the Zuckerbergs of tomorrow. Without investors, without people, you have nothing. And obviously, without God, you have nothing as well. And living below your means. You know, it's so funny, John. We so much want to keep up with the Joneses, right? They got a big house. We got to get a bigger house. They have a nice car. We got to get a better car. They go out every night. We got to go out every other night, right? But if we just live below our means, then we can actually do things comfortably, live in our homes comfortably, pay our bills comfortably. Like you said, that rice and beans, tuna, eating at home. I just got a rotisserie chicken. So I'm not eating out. I think yesterday was the last. Actually, I didn't even eat out yesterday because my friend paid for the whole meal because his church paid for it. So that was a blessing. But I will say that I was prepared to pay it, but I was glad that I didn't have to because now I can just stay home, eat that rotisserie chicken, and live better. I'm thinking about different ways to make my Cobb salad instead of paying $20-some for it, right? Getting some chicken, getting some different things to make it myself. Oh, it's so great that you're talking about living below your means. If we could just live below our means, then we'd be able to thrive in our community. Certain communities are thriving because they live below their means, and others are not because they're trying to keep up with the Joneses and keep up with each other and be in competition with one another instead of just being together. Like John said, just being together. And please make sure that you're living below your means so that you can have the best opportunities to invest into your financial future. Spoken on High with Matt, we just want to thank John Hines today. And we just give honor and glory to God because he took a special time out for us today. Spoken on High with Matt about investing, but creating your own financial future, right? And being able to live below your means and not have to keep up with the Joneses. And make sure today that you are putting something away so that God can give you the right opportunity. A lot of times we miss out on the right opportunity, not because we don't have, but because we have been irresponsible with what we've been given. But let God today be your resource. But as he's giving to you, make sure that you're putting something away so that you can have enough for your financial future. Be responsible.